Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
I think it's going to be one of Chauncey Billups or this Ime Udoka guy from the Nets, the assistant head coach, who has gotten rave reviews. And he's coached Marcus Smart, he's coached Tatum, he's coached Jaylen Brown in 2019 in the World Championships. Yep. And he's got an edge to him. He's kind of even keeled, but he's got an edge to him, defensive-minded. I spoke to somebody for a while last night who's coached with him and was very impressed with him and thinks he could do a really good job kind of connecting. That's what they need.
That's Jeff Goodman. He was on with us here yesterday talking about the Celtics going for a coach. And that's the guy they went with, Ime Udoka, earlier during our show. And it's interesting because he talks about Udoka separated himself quickly in Brad Stevens' search process, including significant support from Celtics players who were impressed with Udoka after working with him under Team USA at the World Cup Games here 2 years ago. And it's interesting because we were talking about this very topic yesterday. He is more of a player's coach. More consistent, maybe he can be firm. That's about as tough as you can get in the NBA if you're going to be a coach with a, you know, trying to run in a player's league.
So this is from Keith Smith, an NBA. He's talking to some other coaches. Here's what they say about Ime Udoka's strengths.
Udoka?
Have we gone over that yet?
I thought it was Udoka.
Idoka. Basketball references Udoka.
Udoka. That's okay. Where we're going to go. We'll call
coach
him Ime. All right. Quote, he's a connector. He builds relationships, real ones, with everyone in the building very quickly. Defense. He played in the league because of his defense. That's his calling card as a coach.
Yeah, he was a defense.
Yeah.
Really, the most important thing, so that's great. Defense is great. I love it. You got to play defense. Perimeter defense. Yeah, I got to close off the inside. The most important aspect of this is that the players, looks like to me, approved of the hiring.
That's the only
it's
thing.
It's all about player approval. Right. Do the two J's co-sign on the hiring? Does anybody care if Marcus Smart cares? Okay. The fact is that the two most important people in the building like him, played with him, was coached by him.
Yeah, I think that is the most important because I think you can put it on the players. There'll be a honeymoon period. Who knows how they feel 2-3 years from now about him. But you can put it on the players right now. This is the guy you wanted. All right? So now you have to perform for him. You have to go out there and you have to do what
we're asking. Well, that's a good point. So there is some ownership to this.
Yes.
Hey, so basically I vouched for you. I stood up for you. I made sure they knew that you were the guy. So maybe you do feel like, you know, you owe him a little bit extra, you know, because you want to be proven right. Yeah. Listen, I'm telling you, this is the guy that's going to get the best out of me, get the most out of me. So I guess in retrospect, when you look back on it and you say, okay, great hire, excellent hire. I would say A+ as far as optics go, as far as, you know, checking all the boxes. He gives you everything. Young coach, lots of experience, won at the highest level, lost at the lowest at the highest level, had some heartbreak losses with the Spurs in 2013. So, you know, he can cover all the bases, right? I mean, so far so good. Brad Stevens, excellent job so far. You got rid of Kemba Walker. You found some financial stability. You brought back the savior, straight-up leadership.
Who's that?
Oh, that would be Al Horford.
Oh, I've had my moments.
That was Moses Brown.
And there you go. And now you just kind of, and now you can be, hey, listen, I was you that one time. You can cry on my shoulder. You can, we can sit there and we can talk about the issues. I know these guys really well. You may get something out of them that I couldn't, you know.
What do you guys think of Airbus Al?
Huh?
Like Airbus. They made a Boeing 797. You know, like seven points, nine boards, though. Seven assists. Like, is that the more improved Boeing 757?
That's too much. You're not getting a newer version. You're getting a reconditioned old version.
But this Airbus Boeing, it's had some issues. It's, you know, it had multiple issues, and it's been grounded recently, too. Yeah. So, I mean, it's very similar to Al. Airbus Al, Boeing Al, I don't know.
I like 757. 757. What's that
mean? Why are you still calling them Airbus?
I want someone to ask what it means.
797 is like, you know, the Airbus, you know? That's like a big night. You know, from Al.
See, I'm not expecting an awful lot from Al. I know you're expecting probably less than
above average Al.
I listen, it was a salary dump. And so they're taking a guy that they're going to have around for 1 year. So I don't know. Do you get rid of Tristan Thompson? Do you try to trade him away right now? What are you going to do here? Moses Brown, does he get playing time with this team? I mean, he's still a developmental type of player.
The thing that gets me about Al Horford, and we all know that there's
all these roads. We're talking about the coach being hired. Hey, Mutt,
can you give Lou an extra hour tonight?
No, but think about this. You tell me what other fan base in this city would stand for this. You turn down a $30.1 million player option because you don't want to play for your team anymore, because you don't like the future of your team anymore. You don't want to be here anymore, to sign a four-year deal to your arch rival at the time. Would you agree that the biggest rival probably a year or two ago was the Sixers?
Yep.
There's no question about it.
And Philly had their number, if you remember, at the time.
So he left your team. He turned down $30 million to go to your rival, okay, and sign a four-year deal. And then a couple years later, he comes back. And everyone wants to throw this guy a freaking parade. Can you tell me another organization that would ever approve of an athlete doing that and coming back like these people?
So I don't know if you remember this, but you were stunned when it all happened. And we did not have the Green Teamers calling up ready to scream about Al Horford. They were saying, well, you know, maybe he wanted to go there, a different city. Do you remember that? They weren't pissed off then when he left.
Well, yeah, because you want to give him a four-year deal? No, I didn't want to give him the first one. You know what I mean? But, I mean, no, I didn't want to do it either. But it doesn't take away from the fact that he turned down a player option to go to your arch rival. And you guys are just like, ooh, can't wait to have him back. I mean, it's just it's so pathetic. You know, it really is. So, hey, go get him. There you go. You get your Boeing 757 back.
He may be less than what you saw the last time he was wearing a Celtics uniform, and I'm just wondering how they're going to react to him.
Imagine if Johnny Damon came back after he went to New York.
Oh my God!
And you think Red Sox? You think, because there isn't one Celtics fan that's called and been like, I don't want Al. He went to Phily. You know, I can guarantee you there'd be Red Sox fans saying, I don't want Johnny Damon
every
back
one
here.
Of them.
Guys, screw him. Freda.
Screw him. Yeah. He went to the Yankees.
Oh, every one of them.
I don't want this guy back.
Yeah.
You know, there'll be a lot
of people
him
for how many
that.
Years, Lou? 4 years? They booed him every time he came in.
No, Al comes back. Oh, we forgive you for going to our rival at the time and thinking that we suck.
Opening
and
nights.
We aren't good enough and don't want to stay here anymore.
Get ready for it.
Oh, my
standing
God.
Ovation.
So pathetic.
I just don't think he can deliver enough. The deal was made for, we heard it. How many times did Brad Stevens say, financial flexibility? That's what the deal was about.
Yeah.
In other words, we took somebody else's trash, got rid of our trash, and we're taking less money on
it. Doesn't stink nearly as bad.
Exactly. That's what we're doing.
Yeah.
But I still say this is a nice move. Udoka, everything I'm reading from people are saying, you know, he has a really good opportunity to be a really good NBA coach. Maybe he's one of the next great NBA coaches. I'll give him all of that. I still think the biggest issue with his franchise is on the lap of Brad Stevens. They don't have players. You watch these other teams, and you see the teams that are advancing in the postseason. And they, I mean, right now, you're watching the Phoenix Suns. Look at all the role players that when you lose a player like Chris Paul because he's out because of the COVID stuff, or you lose Devin Booker in the middle of a game because he's got a broken nose, other guys like Payne and other guys pick up the slack.
Well, I will say, though, I mean, okay, so would you say, okay, the easy part is over now? Like, so as far as business, the most obvious business was getting rid of Kemba, getting that financial, you know, stability, that freedom there, you know, swapping players and saving some money, and then hiring a coach.
Yeah.
So, like, okay, so bam, right out the gate, applause, good job. And I agree with you because I think now, you know, your coach is going to have to develop that relationship to convince them that this is the right place to be and the best opportunity for them to win. But Brad still has to fill major holes. Like, you're going to be competitive because you have two really good players. But to take that next step, you can't go into the season with the guys you have.
So there were nights they were when Kemba was healthy enough and he wasn't playing in the second night of a back-to-back or, you know, there were days off, we would say the same thing. We would say, wow, give him 2 or 3 days off and Kemba can give you 28, 26, 30 points in a game. Somebody's going to have to do that now.
Well, I think the biggest thing for him is just like improving your team like 6 through 8, 6 through 9.
Yeah.
In my opinion, right? I mean, obviously, listen, you need a point guard. I don't know if you're going in with Marcus Smart and Pritchard. You're not doing that.
I'd say 5 through 9.
Yeah, so you need, okay, so maybe 5 through 9. Or if you can argue that that was the problem this year, too. I mean, you had 4 good players, and you didn't know what the hell you had at center. You know what I mean? Early in the year, you had no clue. Tice is okay, so that's why I say you had 5 guys last year. But 6, 7, 8, 9, I mean, the Ogilvy and the Grant Williams and the Jeff Teagues, and it was just like you had to go to the kids who just weren't ready. Pritchard and Nesmith weren't ready. And then it was Javonte Greens and the Tremont Waters and the Carson Edwards, and you're just like, what? Who are these people? Like, this is the problem. Like, Jason Tatum would be on the court with 4 of those guys, or Jaylen Brown would be on the court with 4 of those guys. And you're like, how do you expect? Like, why would I don't want Tatum to pass the ball. Like, who's he going to pass the ball to? So it's like that's the thing. So you have to make sure that, you know, you need some more depth. You need some more shooters. I don't know how he's going to find that. You know, financially, maybe he's got some freedom with this deal. But that's the one way where he can really improve this basketball team. Improving 5 through 8, 5 through 9, rather than the crap he had last year rolling out there in a given night.
Well, the problem he starts with is probably his third best player on his team is Evan Fournier. He's a free agent.
Yeah.
So if you lose him, and he decides on going elsewhere because another team is willing to pay him more money, that's a big loss. It is. So when you look at these other teams right now, they have role players like this Cameron Payne that can come in the game when you need him because other guys are hurt and give you 30 points. Do the Celtics have any of those players that when one of their key guys goes down with an injury right now, that he can come in and he can give you those numbers? No. They have none of that. Pritchard may be the best chance you have off the bench, and you can't depend on that. No. Still a young kid.
No.
They don't have those type of players.
No.
And I think that's a major problem. All right, let's get to the phone calls. It's 617-779-7937. It's a big day for the Celtics, and it's a big day for somebody out there. We're giving cash away.
Another typical cash giveaway. Here's this hour's code word on WEEI.
All right, this hour's code word is LATE, L-A-T-E, LATE. Text LATE to 72881 right now for your chance to win $1,000 in our national cash contest. Message and data rates apply. Don't you dare text and drive. All right, to the phone calls. Are the Green Teamers excited today? Should be happy.
It's the first person of color that the Celtics have ever hired.
Jay Williams?
Wait, what?
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
It's amazing.
It isn't the first, but what?
I thought he was like a knowledgeable basketball guy. He's like a basketball analyst, but
he went to Duke.
Yeah, he went to Duke. I mean, he's a bright guy, wouldn't you? And he tweeted this out earlier today, congratulating the Celtics for hiring their first head coach of color for the Celtics. Apparently, he forgot about the 5 previous black head coaches that coached the Boston Celtics.
6. He thought it was the first one because I think he wanted it to be true. It's the 6.
Do you think that he had that tweet already written and just in his save folder and was just ready to kind of go ahead and hit it? And then he, without doing any homework, which is weird, but I even say doing any homework, he should just kind of know, shouldn't
he? He had one that said woman.
Yeah, he said one that had woman.
Yep.
First woman ever to be hired as an NBA head coach, right? He had one, and he had the Celtics hiring the first African American as a head coach.
I mean, well, how long ago was Doc here? For God's sakes, Jay.
He probably played against Doc.
I get you forgetting. Who is it? Who we got? Satchel Paige?
Satchel Paige.
Tom Sanders.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, you know, I get that, but it's like Bill Russell, ML Carr, Casey Jones, Doc Rivers.
I can understand
Jay,
the ML Carr.
What are you talking about?
Forgetting about that era because a lot of Celtic fans have. But how do you not look at it with Bill Russell? And by the way, for Jay Williams' information, Bill Russell was the first. of all.
In the
of
league.
All the teams. Yeah. In the league. Mm. The entire league.
All right, though.
But, you know, he's going with the stereotype. He's going with the stereotype of what he believes Boston is.
He just missed.
He's leaving out the facts.
And this is it is probably one of the worst tweets in the history of tweets. If you pair up his, you know, the amount of shows that Jay Williams is on and the fact that he's like they're one of their lead basketball guys. I'm the smartest guy in the room when it comes to basketball.
Yep.
Yeah, it's not good.
And the fact that he would even tweet this and save it. So we all stick our foot in our mouth. I mean, come on, we do that all the time. But this is something that was well thought out.
He's got the clap emojis, too, and he's got the fist,
he's got the fist
emoji, too. He's got all of that. So he deleted it,
right? Actually, yeah. So Chris Haynes, he quote tweeted it, though. Chris Haynes' update on Chris Paul intends to make his return. And he just tweeted, game changer. And the first tweet is, all the black head coaches hired by the Celtics before real Jay Williams joined Twitter in 2009. Jay needs to apologize to those men and the whole Celtics nation. The picture of Bill Russell. Hey, did Doc Rivers die? Casey Jones, Bill Russell. Like, people are just, he's just making some comment about the Suns, and everybody's just hammering
him.
Oh,
no. He's never going to live this down.
One of them said, Chris Paul, first point guard of color to play for the Suns. Amazing story.
wouldn't you know if you know the history of race within the league?
No,
that the Boston Celtics were the first team?
Jay Williams' tweet after the Tom Brady Super Bowl last year, he said, I'm really happy that Tom Brady won his first Super Bowl.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, he's close. He's got some problems with history.
They're going to be Jay Williams's. Mike is in the vineyard. Hi, Mike.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good, Mike.
First thing, I like the coaching hire here. I think you guys hit the nail on the head that, you know, it's a players' league. And the fact that, you know, the Jays are into this guy, I think that's important.
I agree.
But the main reason I call is I just find it so funny that, Lou, what is your problem with these green teamers and, you know, being a fan of Al Horford? What are you so mad about?
No, I'm mad at the green teamers.
Yeah, well, I'm a green teamer, and I want to know, what are you so mad about? What's the problem?
Well,
What's your problem with him?
We can go all the way back, Mike. I don't know if you just moved to the area or not, but I always felt like Al Horford should be able to do more on a given night. And when he did do more, people came at me telling me I'm an idiot. I always felt like he should do more. And when he gave me awful nights, people would just defend it as he still had a great night, and I don't agree with him. So I ask you, given Al Horford's history, why he left you, how he left you, he went to your rival, he's back. You're excited he's back?
Well,
he left
you. I can tell you, I never have thought of Philly as a rival. Maybe, you know, my parents and, you know, the back
you've been
in
a
the
fan
80s
like 2 years
something.
Ago, well, you were 2 years ago, who was the biggest rival with this team?
Always the Lakers. I don't care if they suck and we're good or vice versa. That's always our biggest rival. Okay.
So he left you because you weren't going to be good anymore. He turned down $30 million and left.
Look at that team. Look at what was going on with Kyrie. I mean, we can all agree that was completely dysfunctional back then. Obviously, he was ring chasing. It didn't work out. But no, I can't blame the guy. And I certainly don't think of Philly as our biggest rival.
So basically,
I'm happy to have him back. But
you couldn't follow the team. They were at the time. I don't know
you couldn't beat Philly a couple of years ago. That was a problem. You couldn't beat them.
Well, what was it the year before we knocked them out of the playoffs? The year they dropped the confetti.
Yeah, I know.
I mean,
I forgot about that.
Every
that
time
awesome.
You played them, it was like
I
the
feel
emotional
like we
game.
Had
it was
their
the only
number.
Game. It was the only time you had any kind of emotion versus like an opponent. It was the Sixers, and he said, "That's where I'm going," and you don't care.
I never hated the Sixers. You know, I wasn't.
So, Mike, you excited about Al Horford coming back?
I mean, he's not what he once was. I think his leadership will be good. You guys said it's a salary move. But, yeah, I'm glad to have him back.
Okay.
You know, here's the thing,
Lou,
Mike.
You gotta let it go, man. You're getting all mad about this.
Come on,
for
Lou.
Green teamers supporting the team. Man, I'm sorry the Red Sox didn't get that. Same unconditional love, but
hold on, Mike.
They do. They're just the fans are a little more realistic. Like they call them out when they don't like what's going on.
But here's the thing. So Mike does have Mike. Hold on, Mike does have a point though. I would like to say, like, I feel like you're piling on now.
Why?
I feel like you're.
Am I wrong?
You're the bully now.
What if I said that I'm
wrong?
You're
the bully in the room.
He left you.
You're like you're no. Forget about that.
He had a year left in his deal.
I don't
want to be here
anymore.
I don't want to be here anymore. I'm going to go to your rival.
Just like
what Mike says, the Sixers at the time were your rival.
Yeah. Just
and
like Kyrie.
And it's
he
a little big
you.
Deal.
How's Martha's Vineyard right now?
Imagine if Kyrie came back. These people would love Kyrie. They would love
Kyrie.
Yes, they absolutely would. They would shock. Yes, they
would not.
Kyrie if he came back.
That would be a hard one to forgive.
For you, but not for them.
Sterling
Green, you'd be talking about how much he loves him. Christian. And he was misunderstood.
Christian, can I tell you something? If they had traded away a week ago, Kemba Walker for Kyrie Irving, people here would love
him. Oh, they'd love him.
They would love
They don't care.
Because you're getting a better player.
He's ours now again, I guess.
Well, he's a better player. He's a much better player.
I'll win your trust back, Boston fans.
Maybe a total a-hole, but he's a better player.
This time I mean it. I'm really, really, really serious this time. Yeah, you're right. They'd fall for it.
Of course they would.
Hook, line, and
sinker. Here's Justin in Providence, Rhode Island. Hello, Justin.
What's up, fellas?
What's up?
How's it going?
What's up?
What is a green teamer?
What is a green teamer?
What is that?
I don't know, an unrealistic Celtics fan.
It's a Celtics
who
fan.
Who just buries their head in the sand and just everything is okay.
Yep.
Everybody does a great job. You know, how dare you say this team lost, you know, Brad Stevens lost control of this team. And then when the stories come out, you don't hear from him ever again. You know, every move Danny does is perfect. They just want to see hope.
I can't.
I get it. A green teamer. So we have defined two things today on the show: Thunder Buddies, and green teamers.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to sit here and try to define green teamers. You know what they are.
They're
and you also
different.
Know why I don't like Al Horford.
I will say this: they're different.
I don't like Celtics fans.
They're
I don't know. Pile on Al Horford like he's some great player, and if you don't understand his game, you don't understand basketball.
Snobs, the thing is that we're Chad in a market Finn. In which people are always been open to being critical if a guy's not playing well, right? This is what we
except
do in this market,
him.
Except for the green teamer.
Sure.
Yeah,
right.
and when it comes to this, you know, personalities across the board in this town, each team is kind of treated differently.
Fan base is
weird. Same city, but different. Just attitudes towards the team.
Yeah, the Bruins fans.
And you
fans.
Would think, wouldn't you think that a Celtics fan would also be a Patriots fan? Like, I mean, it's like, I mean, aren't you supporting all the teams? Isn't you kind of support the entire city?
Well, I think Maria from Watertown, diehard Bruins fan. She calls up and just gets pissed off, at, you know, when they lose, when they don't win,
that's
whatever.
That's what Bruins fans do, though.
Because, they want him to win this, they want to do that, and he's pissed off at Cassie and everything else.
Let me school you, it's Mr. DuPont.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, but I'm just saying, it's like real emotion. It's like realistic emotion. It's they watch what they see. It's not like they don't get disappointed and say, I'm okay. You know, it's okay. There's hope. But 2 years from now, we're going to be loaded. You know, it's just not the same. Like, they react to what they see, and they're honest about it.
Yeah, if they want their team. All of these fans of any fan base want their team to win. But the Bruins fans are different. If their team is not winning, they're pissed off. They're going to take it out on somebody. There's a blame pie, and they want to find out who is at blame for why their franchise is getting knocked out of the playoffs. Celtics fans are sitting there going, but we got plenty of time. We're patient. We're waiting. We're going to wait
for
this thing.
Well, if you want an example of what a green teamer really is, then we need to kind of explain what happened after we interviewed Jeff Goodman yesterday. Because when we interviewed Jeff Goodman said, well, basically the whole topic, the question that kind of sparked all this anger and animosity really towards us in the station was when Goodman was asked by me, of course,
excellent
the
question.
Best question,
good question
of the group,
good question,
about
question.
Whether Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum were buddies. Do you know anything about the relationship that exists or the friendship that exists between Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum? Like, are those guys buddies?
I do. No, they're not buddies. No. They like each other, but they don't hang out off the court. And honestly, they don't hang out off the court. And I don't want to say it's clear watching them on the court because there are plenty of guys, hey, Glenn knows this better than anybody. Did Larry Bird and Kevin McHale, were they buddies?
No.
It's why I have said over and over and over, and people criticize me and crucify me for saying it, but trade Jaylen Brown for Bradley Beal if you can. Because what we do know is the chemistry, and we'll see it, like that's Tatum's like older brother. And I think Bradley Beal is also a player who's a high IQ player in terms of his decision-making. He can average 7 assists a game. Fully convinced of that. I've watched him play enough over the years. I don't think that's Jaylen Brown. He doesn't make people better. And when he and Tatum go on the court, it looks like they've never played basketball together before.
I don't know how that was such an outrageous statement.
Well, it wasn't necessarily the ending, the last part about how they react on the court, but it was just the overall narrative that these guys don't like each other and they're not real friends.
No, he just said they weren't best friends. They don't hang out off the court. They said they like each other. He never said they hated each other. We just, you know, you sent out that audio on Twitter, and it was like, we even got Goodman's, like, producer in his podcast saying that we, you know, twisted Jeff's words.
We never twisted.
We sent the audio out of Jeff's words.
Unedited.
Unedited. You know what I mean? Just sent it out and said, how are we twisting his words? Talk to Jeff. He's a big boy. He knows exactly what he said. But it's like you would think that you're trying to break these guys up. No, listen. And we got people like reacting like Greeny, Stoolie Greeny. Like he sends out a picture of Tatum and Brown together.
Proof.
From 2014 when they're in high school on a recruiting trip.
Tatum was 15 years old.
To prove that they're like friends.
I know, right?
And oh, they don't hang out together? Well, here's a picture of the two of them with Gucci Mane at the Garden at a concert.
So let me ask you this.
Is that proof?
And I'll tell you what.
They're friends. They respect each other. They can play together. He's just saying they're not best buds. They don't hang out. Yeah. They don't. Game's over. Jalen, where do you want to go? I don't know. Where do you want to go? I picked last night. All right, you pick tonight. Let's go. We're on. They don't do that. They're different birds.
So I think this might be a generational thing. I think really young fans want to believe, especially with social media and everybody trying to push their brand and who they are and whatever, they want to believe that these guys are best buddies, not realizing they're professional. This is a business. They show up. They get a paycheck. Okay? And they go through all sorts of stuff that they're not necessarily best buds. And I don't think in the old days people worried about that as much. I think they knew that McHale and Bird didn't hang out together. But for some reason, I think the younger generation really want to see that.
Yeah, no? I see that really. Like, so, but fine. Let's say they just say they have nothing in common whatsoever, which for me seems like they don't have a ton in common. Basketball is the one thing they have in common, but it needs to kind of, I'm fine with you not liking or hanging out or really having a lot in common off the court, but on the court, there needs to be this sort of like, you know, relationship. You need to be in harmony with each other. You need to make the other person better. You need to kind of play off each other. Like that is also what Goodman is talking about. That's the real issue.
Well, to the point where you're saying, Glenn, like what the fans want. We had a guy call up yesterday and said that Tatum and Brown are like great friends and they've played together since AAU.
No.
Which is just made up.
Right.
You know, and then how he says they have great chemistry on the court, which is something else that's just made up. Like I don't know how you watch those two play and say those two have great chemistry. Like one scores, the other one does their thing. Like you really watch these games and say, oh my God, these guys play off each other. They have unbelievable chemistry. Like, have you ever uttered those words watching these two play together?
No.
Like, and it can still work. Like Goody's not saying they have to blow it up. He did say they should go get Beal for Brown to keep Tatum happy. But I don't think they have to be best friends. They can respect each other and that's all they need. But just where people go with it, it's like, oh, now you're trying to break them up. No, we had some guy, a guest on and he made a comment. That's all. Why are you so sensitive?
You sound like Sebastian Maniscalco.
Yeah.
I don't understand. I think people want to believe that they're best buddies, and when they get off the basketball court, they do everything. Thunder buddies. They do
everything. Thunder buddies for life.
So and that is just not the case with most athletes.
Well, people just like sent out pictures of the two of them sitting together, one from when they were in high school.
Yeah, look, they're eating a sandwich together.
Or at a concert with Gucci Mane. Yeah. Okay, whatever. And then everybody started tweeting out this sound from, what's All the Smoke podcast, where... Okay, and it was like, Jaylen Brown's brother watches, you know, babysits for Deuce. And it's like, okay, so you listen to it, and you're like, wait a minute. I'm not really getting a feel. Like, this is proof that they're friends? I'm actually listening to it thinking that, oh, my God, these guys actually kind of are very different and uncomfortable around each other, but they respect each other. This isn't proof that they're best buddies.
We, in a weird way, it kind of, like,
works.
Works.
Because you're different.
You know what I mean? Because we lack what each other has, you know what I mean? So in a weird way, we got like an understanding, like if each other, respect for each other, our families is close. Like my brother, like babysit his like his son and stuff.
That's
like
dope.
We got
right.
So we've been
that's your light skinned brother.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. We different. We got different mindsets, but at the same time, like I think we respect each other.
I think. Listen, that's fine. They're not.
They don't hate each other.
No, they don't hate each other.
That's not proof.
That's what we're talking about.
How going out after games?
Like it would be. We talk about Jason Tatum getting his friends and, you know, getting recruited and getting seduced yesterday, and you know, and these guys need to be a team.
Tatum
they need
Beal
to be a team.
Tatum and Beal are friends. They're
like
best
a big brother.
Buds.
That's the whole big brother mentality thing. So there's a different relationship there. You wish they had it. They don't. What's worse is they don't have it on the court.
See, that sounds
actually,
to me like that
who
sounds,
would know.
But that sounds to me like, yeah, we're extremely different people. We have different mindsets, but we respect one another. I mean, that's what that sounds like. Yeah. Okay, fine. Don't get me wrong, which is fine. But please don't send that to me saying that's proof that they hang out off the court and they're best friends.
But Lou, they met Gucci Mane together.
Of course they did. And did you notice that one of the photos they sent out were Jalen by himself with Gucci Mane?
And that's the one he posted on Instagram, I'm sure.
Yeah, why didn't he put his best bud in there with him? It was just one of them was just solo.
You know that. It's all Photoshop. Oh, okay. They move people around. Somebody who would know told me that one of Tatum's really good friends that he did hang out with was Javonte Green. He's no longer here.
Mm-hmm.
That was one of the guys that he hung out with. I don't know. Andrew's in New Hampshire. I'm going to take him, then we'll take a break. Go ahead, Andrew.
Hey, guys. How you doing? You know what's really aggravating me is that none of you guys will freaking say Kirk Minahan's name on your network.
Kirk Minahan.
Kirk Minahan.
Right. I'm so scared to say it.
Wow, you guys are so brave.
Jeez, Sporty R. McKenzie here, and I love
you. It's like so 2019. Like, what are you talking about? Oh, it's 17.
Officially, I didn't say it.
Oh, you did. But you named the hallway. You named the hallway.
I named it. Isn't that crazy?
Fairways and greens, my friend.
The Kirk Minahan.
Got a little out of control.
Wait, what'd you call it, Glenn? The Kirk Minahan Memorial Hallway. That's actually a good idea.
A little tussle.
We should put a little plaque right there. Although it didn't happen in this building.
All Sports Talk WEI here in Boston and all of our New England affiliates.
Speaking of best friends,
Kirk Minahan,
you guys are best friends.
Speaking of Thunder buddies. Yeah,
you're Thunder buddies.
Please. There you go. We got to get into Major League Baseball was revived last night, in my opinion. It was awesome. Guys dropping their pants. I mean, guys freaking out. Managers and players staring at each other. This was awesome. We get into the new era of Major League Baseball, the non-sticky era coming up next.
I hope she didn't race a shark.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Take a look here at what Sergio Romo was dealing with. He was a little bit heated there after the performance. He's immediately thrown off the belt, the glove, the hat, everything.
And the side is retired here in the third. All right, so Scherzer's going to get looked at again, or he's going to give Alfonso Marquez a hug. I'm not really sure which. I think he's just going to get checked out. We go to the fourth.
They're going to check Max here in the middle of an inning?
Oh, anything to try to throw somebody off their game, and Davey rightfully coming out to protect his guy to see what's going on here.
Matt drops his hat, and Carlos Torres is going to get mad at him. This is in the middle of an inning after you struck a guy out, and it was initiated by the other manager. If I'm Davey, I'm not standing for this at all. And now Girardi's going to come out and become a bigger part of it.
I'd have to be an absolute fool to actually use something tonight when everybody's attendance, you know, so far high. They look for anything. I'll take off all my clothes if you want to see me. I got nothing on me.
What did you see that prompted you to ask him to inspect Scherzer?
I've seen Max a long time, since 2010, but I've never seen him wipe his head like he was doing tonight, ever.
Maybe next time I'll think before he eats
me. Awesome! Awesome! Major League Baseball fixed itself in one night. They told the umpires to act like your airport security. And they got everybody fuming at each other, guys dropping their pants. This was awesome last night.
It was so awesome. It was fantastic. I would say baseball finally got it right. They finally did something that made everybody, you know, happy.
5 hour games. I am
so fine with it as long as we have this type of entertainment, and that's really what it is. What it was for me is just the guys just coming undone, being irritated. Some guys overdoing. Scherzer is a complete just big fat baby. The fact that the more he whined and complained, the more guilty I thought he was in the past.
You know, the memo went out that starting pitchers are going to mandatory at least once, right?
Yes.
So he comes out after the first inning all pissed off that they're going to check him.
Yeah.
And they check him again in the third. And now Girardi checks him in the fifth, whatever. I don't know what Joe's thinking there. But this guy, you know, is all pissed off that they're checking him. I have zero sympathy for Max Scherzer. And everybody wants to rip on Joe Girardi. That's fine. You don't like him. I get it. And please don't defend this guy. Because this is one of the guys, is the reason why we're in where we're in. The spot that we're in. Like, if you're a guy that really didn't, like, violate and use spider tack or use the Coca-Cola and pine tar Bubba Harkins mix that was out there in Anaheim, you should be pissed at Max Scherzer. You should be pissed at Gerrit Cole. You should be pissed at Justin Verlander. You should be pissed at everybody else that Bubba Harkins named in an interview with Sports Illustrated. This guy's out there getting shipments from Bubba Harkins for illegal stuff. Not sunscreen, not rosin, allegedly. Okay, whatever. Maybe I should say that. But, and now he's going to be bitching about it? This is like in 99, like Barry Bonds and Mark McGwire getting pissed they're going to test him for steroids. And getting pissed they actually got to piss in a cup. It's like, you're the one that did it. You're the one that caused it. Just shut your mouth.
Yeah,
give him your glove. Give him your hat. Show him your belt. It's your fault. It's your fault. Don't get pissed off at this.
Yeah, I would say that.
Love it.
There is this like, oh, how dare you?
Oh.
How dare you even question my ability by checking me? Even though, to your point, the rule states, I think it's at least twice is that they have to do it. Not once. They're going to, starting pitchers at least twice. And, you know, relievers everyone's going to be checked. So, I get it. It's the first time. You don't like it. The fact that they did it twice so quickly, you're feeling like they're picking on you. Like they're just trying to get at you.
Yeah.
And that's not the case.
So what they're missing is, unlike airport security, and that's basically what the umpires are doing, and they put you into a holding pattern where you can't go and get anything else that you don't have on you. And I can tell you, I've been through this treatment, as you guys know, in the past. A major league pitcher can go back into the dugout and go back into the clubhouse and get anything he wants on any inning. So there have to be multiple checkups. So this is Max Scherzer talking about Joe Girardi, who had him checked multiple times.
Yeah, I mean, the two checks were, I guess, normal. You know, umpires, this is new for everybody, but, hey, they're checking your hat, they're checking your glove. You're ready for them to check your hands. You know, I wasn't, just using rosin tonight, so wasn't doing anything. That's all fine. And obviously Girardi, for me, it's, kind of confusing. If you watch the bomb at bat, I almost put a 95 mile an hour fastball on his head because the ball slipped out of my hand. The whole night I was sick of kind of licking my fingers and tasting rosin the whole night. So the only part, I couldn't even get sweat from the back of my head because it wasn't really a warm night. So for me, the only part that was sweaty on me was actually my hair. So I had to take off my hat to be able to try to get any type of, try to get some type of moisture on my hand to try to mix with the rosin. And so for me that's the confusing part, is I'm just trying to get a grip of the ball, and you can even watch in that previous at bat, the ball slipped out of my hand, almost drilled somebody in the face.
So tough doing this job.
Yeah, it's so tough, so difficult. Yeah.
You know what,
so, woe is me, Major League Baseball, woe is me.
So baseball's a game of baseball's like a game of numbers. You know what I mean? Like, if mm-hmm. you can sit there and say, how you hitting? I'm hitting pretty good. I'm hitting okay. You know, I'm hitting really, really well, whatever. Actually, you're 3 for 10. You're hitting 300. Oh, okay. I didn't know. Because it's actually numbers. Like, the numbers are in front of you. This isn't guesswork. The data is there. You know, and he's talking about, like, guys are going to be hit more. Right now, they are the seventh highest hit by pitch rate in all of baseball, as far as batters being hit, in the history of the game.
It's 1899, 1898, 1900, 2020, 1897, 1891, 2021.
Okay. And that's with the junk, right?
So the last 2 years, when the junk has come into the game, more batters are being hit since the late 1800s.
Yeah, they're
and it's falling. Like, well, now guys are going to get hit. No, you've been drilling guys for 2 years.
Right.
Don't blame it on this stuff. But I'm just saying, it isn't guesswork. This is data. Like, I'm watching a game right now. You know what I mean? And we're watching like Caleb Smith going up against Brandon Woodruff. And I'm on Baseball Savant. You can go to Player Breakdown. You can see all their spin rates go down. I can go live at bat. I can see what your spin rate, the slider. Caleb Smith just threw a slider. 83 miles an hour, 2,212 spin rate. Like, it's all information. So when you're down 300, don't give me the sunscreen rosin crap. Okay, if you're down 70, 60, whatever, and you can't locate a fastball, I'll take the sunscreen rosin stuff. But don't lie to me. This is facts. You can't hide from this. If you're down 300, we know what you were using. So I don't want to hear them all getting pissed off or getting checked. You're one of the reasons why they're doing it. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, but see, the reason I love this is because baseball, I'm sure they didn't think this through, and the unintended consequence is what happened with Joe Girardi. And because there's going to be some gamesmanship.
Sure.
There's going to be some managers who are willing to do whatever they need to do to just disrupt the flow, not necessarily of the game, but basically the pitcher. A guy's in a really good groove. Nobody can make contact. He's really got your number. You have to somehow get in his head. So you've already checked him twice, but he keeps mowing you down. You know what? Screw it. I'm going to call him out again. I'm going to walk up to the top step, and I'm just going to watch. I'm going to let him know that I'm watching him, even though he's not doing anything wrong. But we all know what he's trying to do. Now the pitcher gets rattled. They slow down. They get the advantage. That's going to be a problem. That is going to be an issue with managers and who's willing to kind of, you know, do the dirty work and really go to those and go to those scenarios and take advantage of it.
Yeah, I'm amazed at Baseball Savant. I know, Christian, you're a regular subscriber.
Yep.
But
Hockey Savant.
It's amazing that you can get all of those numbers right off the bat. So the pitchers can't lie. It's like if you're speeding and you sit there and you tell the cop who stopped you, no, I wasn't going over 35. And the guy's going, I get the meter right here.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter. No, it doesn't matter. Yeah. You get in-game analysis doesn't matter as far as you talk about, okay, listen, I can easily tell if I'm a manager. I'm on Baseball Savant. I know.
I got somebody on it.
Somebody's on it. Somebody's telling him, hey, something doesn't smell right. Check him. The numbers are going up. He's getting more revolutions. You got to do something about it.
See,
check him.
That's why I'm not buying like the Joe Girardi stuff. Like, this isn't guesswork. I don't want to hear like he's going to his hair more than he normally does.
Yeah.
It isn't guesswork, Joe, and he knows this. I mean, you got analytics people during a game firing away in a computer in a room right now as the game's going on to see what's happening. It's a simple website, and you sit there and say, yo, Garrett Richards, he's down 250 again on his fastball, slider, and curveball, all three pitches. They check him. He's still down 250 in a second. All of a sudden, in the third inning, he's got two outs, he's punched out two guys on curveballs, and he's back to his average. He's no longer down 250. That's when maybe you give a call down to the dugout and say, go look at him.
Yeah.
I mean, it's data. Like, it's
simple.
But then you go ask them. I know, but that's.
And I'm pretty sure you'll find something.
That is the obvious. Go get them. Hey, analytics guy, nerd in the back with the tape on your glasses and the number two pencils. Okay, as soon as something smells fishy, flag it. Call me right away, and then let me see it. There's the obvious, but there's also this, like, I don't see anything. I'm going to make a big excuse. Yeah, he was grabbing his hair. Yeah, I couldn't trust him. Hey, check his hair. To the point, talk about humiliation. The ump goes out there at the third time, and Scherzer takes his hat off, and he says, what, feel my hair. And here comes the ump, grabbing his hair, putting his fingers all through his hair.
Yeah, that was gross.
There was this, like, are you, like, the ump wants to do that, Lou?
That was gross.
Like, the ump is literally going, you're going to force
all
me to
I'm
do
saying
this?
Is, all I'm saying, like, Girardi, there shouldn't be any guesswork because we know there's cameras everywhere. They're going to have a still shot and a pitcher the entire game. Someone's up there right now watching, you know, between pitches, and they're going to see if he goes to his glove, if he goes to his hat, and then the pitch is thrown. They're going to look down the computer, and they're going to see, okay, minus 230. All right. And they're going to watch him between pitches, and all of a sudden they're going to see minus 230. All right. And they're going to watch him between pitches. All of a sudden they're going to say, actually, the next inning he's on his league average. He's back up to 2,900 RPMs. Hello, and I got him on video here, too. I think he just went to check his hat. And they buzzed down. They said, check his hat.
Check his sock.
And, I mean, that's you don't sit there like Joe Girardi did and just say, but then again, that goes to what you're talking about, gamesmanship. So what stops it? So I know, like, Kershaw talked about it. Alex talked about it, too, when we talked to him about, hey, if you go out there and you check someone and they don't find anything, you lose your challenge.
It's got to be something.
Well, these pitchers just have been lying. I mean, talking about, we're just using sunscreen. Garrett Cole posted his lowest spin rate, all right, of every pitch in any start since 2017. That was 4 years ago.
That was also his last year in Pittsburgh before he went to Houston and everything jumped 400 RPMs.
Give me a break.
With Verlander, who's calling Bubba Harkins.
No, we weren't doing anything. This hour of OMF has been brought to you by 495 Chrysler Jeep Dodge Rams. New Jeep Freedom Days. Coming up, if you caught the TV broadcast last night, it was clear Eck and Rem Dog did not enjoy the quality of play. We'll get to it next.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Time now for Last Call.
See you later.
I'm done.
And it's been a blast.
I think the show has been a lot of fun.
I mean, I'm letting you go.
I'll let it go.
I'm letting you go.
Last Call.
I don't thrill about the end of it.
Our very, very best. You know, we've saved for last.
Thanks for the ride, everybody. I'll see you around the block. Bye-bye.
Now, it's Last Call on Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier.
All brought to you by Cars for Kids, the easy way to donate your car. Donate today. Car can be picked up tomorrow. Go to carsforkids.com, 1-877-CARS-FOR-KIDS. Lou is headed over to the ballpark. He'll be doing tonight's game. If you caught last night, the TV broadcast of last night's game, base running, seems to be a lost start when it comes to the Tampa Bay Rays. Oh my God, they are awful on the base pass. This is Eck and Remdog going at it.
So Salamore ready. Bounding ball. Devers along the line. Bobbles it. Lunges. Gets back to the bag. The runner's at first and second on the play. And Phillips has been retired.
Where is Phillips? Where is Phillips? What happened to the runner?
He is out.
What did he do? What's he doing?
On the bobble by Raphael, a little hop there, and he mishandled it.
Did he think he stepped on the bag and stopped? I mean, what is he doing? Let's watch this. Why are you stopping?
What are you doing?
You got a man behind you.
Oh my God. I've seen it all. I mean, this is acid right here. What is going on?
Jeez. They're the best.
Yeah, it's amazing.
I wish NFL games, I wish guys would sit there and just, they don't need to rip a guy, but just really just be all like, just be ready to just be real critical.
Genuine.
Yeah, national guys.
Yes.
I mean, this is acid right here. What is going on?
You think Tony Romo could say that, use that? This is acid, man. Catch the ball.
I mean, the amazing part is, when do you find out that your base running was wrong? When you go back to second base and somebody's already standing on it, wearing the same uniform that you're wearing.
It can happen.
I mean, it's idiotic.
These are the little things you need to worry about.
We got to get out of the way here. We got to get his little mini-mutt show.
He only had four minutes last night.
It felt awful. I don't know if you
driving
home last night, I heard him. He only had 4 minutes.
I got to get my mutt on the way home. That sounds weird.
Big fella. We'll do it again tomorrow, 2 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. Major show announcement tomorrow afternoon. All right. We'll see what that's all about. We'll do that tomorrow. Have a great night, everybody. Stay safe out there. Mutt coming up.
Up next, Sox and Rays.
The Red Sox play on WEEI.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.